Now, in the week between the 17th and the 24th, and we're going to talk about the nature of that victory in a moment, were the police continuing to ticket people for sleeping? Did you hear about people getting citations in that week?
Yeah, but it wasn't this is a traditional week where they do crack down because of what's called Cal Day, where parents come in with new prospective students. So traditionally, it's a crackdown. So I think in a way, we deferred a lot of that. There was definitely people getting arrested.
For 647J, or?
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
But I think a lot less than would be the usual, even though they say that they're so little numbers, why are we making a big fuss about it, you know, but.
And 647J, to remind people, is a law that essentially, it's a kind of a one-sentence law that says that if it is illegal to lodge in on any public property. And I think that's, in essence, a way of saying if you fall asleep at night, you can get charged, which is punishable by up to $1,000 fine and a year in jail. Is that accurate? And so here was this homeless human and civil rights resolution, which was brought up, which I'm going to read here briefly. Whereas the Universal Declaration of Human Rights declares that everyone has the human right to life, liberty, and security of person, as well as to housing and to necessary social services. Whereas the City of Berkeley Municipal Code Chapter 1.22010 states that the City of Berkeley shall promote universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms for all. And whereas the City of Berkeley has declared itself a human rights city and adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, and boy, I'm getting kind of tired of all these whereas, but they're good. Whereas the County of Alameda Board of Supervisors has declared a housing state of emergency for extremely low-income people, and we still haven't done that here in this city, by the way. We have these bogus pseudo-emergencies in Santa Cruz, which don't really involve invoking real state law. Whereas the 4th Appellate District Court, in the case of James Warner Eichhorn, ruled that a city cannot ticket or incarcerate a homeless individual for sleeping outside when there are insufficient shelter beds or housing alternatives in that city's jurisdiction. That's the famous mandatory necessity defense, which was found a couple years ago, that if you have somebody arrested for a camping ticket, you have to allow them to show that it was a necessity for them to do it if they want to make that defense. Is that your understanding of that?
Uh-huh.
Then finally, whereas, actually several whereas's left, but whereas shelter beds in Berkeley are full every night. There are many times more homeless people in Berkeley than shelter beds. The Berkeley Emergency Winter Shelter closed on April 15th, locking scores of residents out on the streets. Waiting lists for affordable public housing in the Bay Area can be up to 6 years long. A minimum wage worker would have to work over 100 hours to afford a one-bedroom room at fair market rent in Alameda County. An increasing percentage of the homeless population, many estimate at least one-third, are families with children, and numerous working families and individuals are homeless, unable to find housing despite steady incomes. And this is finally the final whereas. Whereas policies of citing, fining, incarcerating, and harassing individuals for sleeping outside only complicate the personal struggle for self-sufficiency and exacerbates the social problem and cost of homelessness, and now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the City of Berkeley reaffirm our commitment to guaranteeing and protecting the civil and human rights of all homeless families and individuals who reside in Berkeley, and adopts as standard operating procedure for the Berkeley Police Department that enforcement of 647J shall be a low priority. Enforcement shall be on a complaint basis, and there shall be two verbal warnings before any arrests under 647J. Refer to the city manager and to the budget process. Funding suggestions for detox, daytime respite care, rainy day vouchers, share proposal, and storage units. And this was the final version of the resolution as I got it from Chris Worthington. Mike, we're on the line again with Mike Deal, who's an activist with BOSS. It's Building Opportunities for Self-Sufficiency in Berkeley. I'm rattling on. What's important about all this, Michael?
Well, the right to sleep is basic. You know, I think it was a major victory just to, get our people into the city council and have them hear us, and to win this victory. The struggle will, of course, continue after this, but it's an important victory. Struggle here.
Well, now, according to Chris Worthington, there were a couple of compromises made in this whole deal. As I understand, so I can understand what he told me, I'm going to quickly look it up. He said that you had, first of all, this was a 5-3 vote. You have a 9-member council. I guess one person abstained unexpectedly, who was a virulent critic of the homeless. I guess that was Polly Armstrong. And you had 5 council members who voted in favor of this, and this was a resolution raised by Mr. Chris Worthington, who, I guess he's the council member for the Telegraph Avenue District. And would you say, I guess some of us wonder, why has this been so long in coming? Why did people wait till 2001 to introduce this resolution? I mean, people have needed to sleep, well, for a long time, and there was a majority on the Berkeley City Council to overturn propositions, part of propositions N and O, or well, I'm not sure if it was both of those, the anti-homeless laws, that passed Berkeley in 1994. What in your judgment as an activist, Michael, is the reason this took so long? And by the way, I don't know is a fine answer. I'm not expecting you to know everything.
I would expect that BOSS had something to do with it, willing to put some resources behind this to do the campaign. I was definitely involved with the overturning of Measure O and working on Chris Worthington's campaign and fighting it in federal court with the ASOU, through the Berkeley Free Clinic. So, some of it for me is just when I'm able, to continue to be able to pay my rent and continue the struggle,
Right, sure, as an individual. On the other hand, I mean, BOSS is a pretty big organization. I mean, you're talking millions of dollars here, right? Or hundreds of thousands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons this whole protest was undertaken is, I don't know if this is true, I speculate that there's a new organization called the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project, which is beginning statewide. It's going to be kind of making its debut at the Housing California Poverty Pimpiree that goes on in Sacramento every year and usually has nothing to do with homeless people at all, except they make money off of them. But in this case, hopefully, the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project is going to be able to support the Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee, which is throwing its own protest in Sacramento around similar issues like sleeping and harassment by the police and so forth. And at this time, I think there has been some, raised awareness of the need for not just civil rights talk, but real civil rights action. And this seems to me to be in the nature of an action, even though you are just going to a city council and asking them to do the right thing. Still, you're doing so in massive numbers. You're feeding people. You're making a colorful presentation before the media. I mean, this seems to me to be a sort of a strong step, and perhaps it was one that the fact that this organization is going to Sacramento and that different groups in Los Angeles and San Francisco, Santa Cruz, San Diego are all joining, that this was sort of a way of preparing for this Sacramento situation. Is that in any way true, or is it sort of unrelated?
It's definitely related. There's definitely a correlation. That and the fact that Ken Marchesa's case was coming and, the previous court victories on the 647J, those are two factors on why the timing. Yeah, definitely the Sacramento thing that you're talking about is definitely connected.
Now, can you tell us, much about Ken Marchesa's case and what's been happening with the 647J law, which says can't lodge in a public place?
Well, there had been a court victory down in Southern California, I believe it was in Santa Ana, and then a man named Barabbit pursued it with the Albany landfill. There a lot of homeless people had been camped out there, and the city of Albany had forced people out. And Rabbit chose to pursue the case and won in Berkeley Albany court for his right to stay there, because Albany has shelter spaces. That's the grounds. You know, if there's no shelter beds, then you can't arrest somebody for a biological necessity. Now, Ken, I've known him for a number of years. He's, you know, he's a former UC ethnic studies professor, and he's been homeless for the last year and 8 years, and he's been looking for this kind of opportunity. He had no other arrest situations. So the first time he wound up in jail, he didn't want to fight it from there. But the second time he saw an opportunity to do that, Osha Newman had been looking for a possible case on this. He tried to look at another case, and they got the person on some other warrant. So he had already done a lot of legal work and was ready to go with that. They did a strategy to pressure the public defender to take it on. So we did work on that to, you know.
And did you succeed? Did the public defender take on this case?
And now he's saying, and now he's getting, like, actively behind it, like, remembering why he went to law school in the first place, that he went to do some good. And so suddenly he's remembering that.
Boy, you mean all these old calcified hacks are finally sort of loosening up and remembering their glory days when they had a little idealism? Is that the deal? Or?
Yeah, this would be Greg Shire.
Sounds like a big deal to me there, Mike.
Huh?
Just using a quick pun on you, I apologize. So, yeah, this is, so anyway, you had a, you say there were more people at the last council meeting on Tuesday night than there were the week before?
Yeah, I think that shocked them.
And can you tell us something about the nature of the debate, how long it took, and what kinds of things were said that struck you particularly?
Well, one of the things that happened is they trotted out the city staff from the Health and Human Welfare Services and the police and all that, saying why they didn't need to pass that, and they didn't give the chance for the Homeless Commission, which endorsed it, to do it. You know, so I was a little concerned about that. You know, of course, that got into some of the mainstream media. They fed on that. Lynn DeMaio was pretty good with the police person that was saying, well, we don't need this, and we're very kind and compassionate. She says, well, why are we seeing all these people angry here? We just heard all these people, and you're saying that nobody, you know, you haven't heard about anybody being hurt by this law, and so, you know, why all these people here saying that they have been, you know?
And now, Lynn DeMaio is the swing vote most of the time on the Berkeley City Council, right?
Yeah, and we made sure that she heard from people. I particularly spent a lot of time in her district putting flyers up, and she knows me as somebody who usually can get, like, her phone calls barraged. She always tells me to talk to her first, you know, but she never returns my call, so she talks to us after we put the public pressure on her.
And then she starts.
But she heard it.
Now, what about the business interests? The police said that they didn't think these changes were good, and I heard the Councilmember Worthington reportedly, he told me afterward that the police said, we won't even enforce this at all if you force us to, you know, to make this the lowest priority. Is that accurate?
I hope it's accurate. They don't enforce it at all.
It wasn't said publicly, though. Huh? I thought that maybe he heard that privately. That's what, I mean, I know that in Santa Cruz, at least in the 70s, and I think still, I mean, there was a policy. What the police would do is that they would not enforce, when they wanted to do a sweep of an area, instead of initially coming in and sweeping, they would stop enforcing all laws in that area. They did this in the safe sleeping zones area that never was quite established, but was supposed to be established in Santa Cruz last summer. What they did was they just stopped enforcing laws, and when people started making legitimate complaints about, you know, undue noise or dumping on the streets, they'd say, oh, go talk to the city council. We can't do anything. They're tying our hands. And then, of course, businesses and residents would clamor to the council, you've got to do something, and the police would get harsher laws. Now, is this something that Berkeley does, too, the Berkeley Police Department uses as a strategy?
It sounds like something they've done in the past. Yeah, I would say that would be something we should be concerned that they might try to do that in this situation. We also have, because we're a university town here, or the UC cops are not, you know, beholden to this because, you know, it's a state law, and they work hand-in-hand with the UC cops, and particularly in the Southside area, so that's a major loophole right there. We were trying to work with the ASUC Senate to ask them to pass a resolution to ask the UC cops to honor this,
the suspension of 647J?
Yeah, but that's a major way they could still use the law.
So has the Senate decided to help you, the ASUC Senate, the student body on campus?
They put it off last night, and it's going to go up the next Wednesday. They're still, the supporters of it are still trying to figure out what happened on Tuesday.
Well, I read on the Daily Cal that there was a protest that began on Friday, a joint student homeless protest around Underhill to protest this parking structure and the harassment of the homeless. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes, there was a thing on Friday and Saturday night, and there will actually be one on this coming Saturday night. I was there on Friday, so there was a lot of students came up, a lot of it for the dance party, you know. When the police came and vans, they all split, except for the two student leaders and a few of us activists and a few people from the streets, and we're all trying to figure, do we want to get arrested tonight or not? We decided it just wasn't enough of us, and you know, we need to be free for Tuesday. And I heard later they wanted me to get arrested so I wouldn't be out there in the streets getting people out for Tuesday.
But you're going back this Friday again?
Saturday night, actually.
Saturday. Now, where is this for people who want to come to this protest? How can they get involved? Where is it, first of all?
It's on College Avenue. It's between Channing and Hay Street, I thought, west of College Avenue. So it's pretty close to People's Park. Just go a little northeast of there. Mm-hmm. Actually, some of us are going to be meeting in People's Park at 6:30.
And that's on Saturday night. Saturday, the looks like the 30th? No, the 29th, actually. So is there a phone number people can call for more information, Michael?
Well, I give you my boss number.
Sure.
638-6580, extension 16. We are kind of setting up an ad hoc committee of people, so it takes it away from boss and more like the, you know, the street people doing it.
Well, give me that address again. I think we garbled it. Say it again.
Where the thing on Saturday night?
Where it's still called the Underhill protest, or?
Yeah, it's going to be at this Underhill parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
College, on College Avenue between Haste and Channing. It's just west of College Avenue.
College Avenue between Haste and Channing, west of College. And once again, is the phone number to reach you on this to get information? This is a daytime phone, I take it?
Yeah, you can leave a message for me at 663-6580, extension 16. That's my boss number. We will be this other group that's still forming. It's going to meet at People's Park at 6:30 right before then.
And so you even though this thing has been passed, this suspension of 647J, you guys haven't stopped realizing that there's a need for ongoing protest to activate this, and I guess you're also pushing for the student senate, the ASUC senate, to impose the same kind of restrictions on violating constitutional rights on the UC police, right?
Yeah, we're definitely looking for an alliance with the students. So, I mean, we're not going to just fight for student housing, which is a common struggle for housing. We've been clear with the student leaders on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of it is like, you know, I always question how far BOSS is going to go with this, you know, and the need to keep that, create an organization that, you know, whatever happens with BOSS, you know, I mean, Andrea's telling me I better keep my resume clear. It's current, you know, but it's, so the, you know, struggle, I see the need for a continuous struggle to go on.
So I know that at Harvard, I guess the second protest that I've heard that they've ever had in their history, the second sit-in, is taking place there, involved housing policy. And, you know, what I'd like to see in Santa Cruz, of course, is a homeless UCSC sort of folks concerned about low rents, too, and the rip-offs of the university all get together and combine these issues and do a whole occupation on campus requiring, you know, against the regents, but also against the city authorities, and requiring there be some real changes. And I some people disagree with me. Some people think the issues should not be mixed. I disagree on that one. But I'm glad to see that Berkeley is actually doing it. Again, we're talking to Mike Deal, activist in Berkeley, and the quite surprising to me victory of the Berkeley homeless and homeless advocates on Tuesday night in overturning the, you might say, sleeping ban policies of the Berkeley City Police insofar as they enforce 647J of the state criminal code. And also, any other codes that they're using that in essence have a similar impact. Although I guess it doesn't talk about those other codes. The original resolution did. This one has been abbreviated, it looks like. So maybe there were some weakening amendments adopted.
The two warning thing is something we didn't really want in the original thing, and that just kind of got in there. I think that's the weakening there.
So actually, they're saying enforcement shall be on a complaint basis, and there shall be two verbal warnings. And the basis on which they said why that was, they used your city attorney's opinion that an actual moratorium would be illegal. I guess the theory being that a citizen could sue the city for not enforcing a law or some bullshit of that sort.
Yeah, that's how it got weakened, because we were asking for a moratorium.
Right, so the way to do, of course, is simply to... But it was made the lowest priority, and you have a very elaborate law which talks about how marijuana, and we're not talking medical marijuana, we're talking all marijuana, all recreational marijuana use, as of 1979, was supposed to be the lowest priority in Berkeley.
And we've certainly seen how it has not been, and that's actually another major way that they harass people in People's Park and the Telegraph area, where a lot of people in the streets have... They've pushed it to the max, and that's not what the Berkeley police are supposed to be doing, and that's an issue I've tried to organize people around before. I've not, unfortunately, Cannabis Action and other groups are just, they talk about it, but they don't come down the street and help on that basic level.
Well, is there a chance that this kind of Underhill action that you are going to be involved in, you will be there on Saturday night?
I will definitely be there on Saturday night.
Well, maybe I'll be there too. Who knows?
That'd be good.
Could this spark direct action by other groups ranging from, marijuana activists to, folks concerned about gentrification downtown or, the improper police power, police abuse?
Certainly hope so. That's
right.
My intention.
It sounds like...
I want to see that happen. I also happen to be with Berkeley Liberation Radio. I know you're doing...
Hey, when is your show there, Mike?
My show is on Sunday, 12 to 2, so I'll actually be doing my show out of People's Park this Sunday, because we're going to have the 32nd anniversary.
Oh, good point. People's Park, which of course is right between, Hayes?
And we hope you all know where People's Park is in Berkeley. If not, call 423-HUFF-4833. We'd love to have you hear me for the rest of the evening, but I'm afraid Uncle Dennis and Earth First would have a few objections to that. But if you want to hear more of me...
Only one objection.
On Sunday, you can come back at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you can hear Dennis's second objection, or possibly the last part of his first objection, as it trails off into the distance, or perhaps as I trail off into the distance. Thanks for being with me. Call between shows to 423-HUFF, 423-4833 for more exciting, I'll be going up to Berkeley probably to this protest on Saturday. If you want to join me, let's hear from you.
As certain as the sun will rise and politicians have lying eyes, as sure as suffering multiplies, the rich will never be poor. As certain as in life you learn, the rich have money and time to burn, the rich will counsel you, wait your turn, in heaven you'll get some more. As sure as poverty plagues the land, the rich will give you a helping hand, as soon as mountains return to sand and oceans leave the shore. Count on nothing in life so well, that if the rich go straight to hell, lots are something they buy and sell, they'll never enter the door. Clearly all that you need in life to be at peace in a world of strife, the company of a man or wife and lots of money in store. Life is simple and so complete, with faithful friends and some bread to eat, a solid roof and a room with heat and stocks and bonds galore. The rich will probably tell you, nay, it's inner riches that really pay. The rich have always got lots to say as they watch their assets soar. Count on nothing in life so plain, the poor have water, the rich champagne. The market rises to this refrain, the rich will never be poor, the rich will never be poor. Sure as life is a strange affair, in need of some robust repair, the rich don't actually have to care, the rich will never be poor. Maybe people are all the same, but the rich are playing a different game. You take your chances and take your aim, you'll never even the score. The rich can't help it if life's unfair, the richer people, they really care. They often mention it's hard to bear, they're burdened at their core. Some say no, but it's plain to see, the rich are different than you and me. The rich are different as they can be. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor.
And you're listening to Free Radio.